Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen!
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
You know what I'm saying? My homie J-Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
All you had to do was listen to your Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look what that got you, homie. Fuck that. Black G, holla.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
Thursday, January 27, 2011. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. As always, my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, Jay. How you doing today?
Doing all right. Doing all right. So what's going on your end?
Cold. 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 I hate snow.
Yeah.
Fucking like what, like 9 inches around here? I don't even know how to shovel. Well, people, you know, people are still shoveling out. It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, we got a little bit of snow out here. We had rain until probably 10 o'clock or so last night, and then just out of nowhere, you know. Well, I mean, it was predicted, but you know, then the snow started. It snowed all night. We got, I don't know, maybe 6 inches or so. Something like that, but it was, you know, wet and heavy from all the fucking rain, and, you know, just a big mess, so, not enough to keep me from work today, but, you know, enough to be a pain in my ass.
Are you outdoors tonight, or no?
No, I'm not outdoors. I didn't feel like drying off chairs and sitting out in the fucking wet cold, so I decided to, I'll take it inside tonight. So, I did that. That means I will be in the chat room tonight. I implore everybody else to jump in the fucking chat room that is listening live tonight, because it's always good fun. And our guest for tonight will be one half of the Osirian portal, Ophidian. And I'm sure everybody's going to enjoy that. It's going to be a good show. We got some other stuff to get into later on. One thing definitely wanted to get over, you know, from the start is football. Hell. We had quite the outing.
I can't find my scissors to cut my microphone off, or I would.
Oh, because
I won't be talking
about
football.
That might be your best bet when I'm making football picks, is just to go silent.
I'll just start picking both teams from now on, you know.
Right. So I mean, well, it's a 50-50 shot for the next 2 weeks. And we'll probably give away both picks tonight, and then we'll have to reiterate next week. But
I'll probably both teams wrong. So, I mean, yeah, my luck with football, not so good.
Well, yeah, you were wrong on both both picks last week. And, you know, in result, I was right on both picks. Well, I mean, through the playoffs, I've been pretty much 50%. You know, if there was, I think, you know, two games or, you know, if there were four games from the start, I was winning two games. Next week, four games, I was winning two games. Well, it came down where there were only two games, so I stuck with two games, and I got my wins. So, you know, I was able to luck out that way. I could put it that way. I haven't had a really, really good, picking throughout the season. I could say that much. And, I was actually dead on with this one. I couldn't have seen the Jets going any further than they already gotten. I think they were way in over their head to begin with. And, they finally got theirs. Thank God, man. Rex Ryan is such a douchebag. He did not belong in the fucking Super Bowl, so I'm glad. From there, we just move on. We go to the Super Bowl. I hope to God the fucking Steelers don't win another title because they're already up one on us. You know, we got our five titles. They got six. You know, so I don't need to complicate things and have them walking away with seven. So, of course, I'm pulling for the guys I predicted to be in to begin with, and that's the Green Bay Packers. There were good games and everything, but, the Bears fell apart. The Packers let them back in, and they weren't able to close out, and the Packers took over. You know, Bears made quite a triumphant comeback with a second- or third-string quarterback. I can't even understand. But, no way in hell did the Bears deserve to win that game with a backup quarterback. That would have been a terrible, terrible Super Bowl. So I was really, really happy that the Packers were able to hold it together enough to take that in there because, shit, man, imagine a third-string quarterback in the Super Bowl. Sad day. And then, yeah, man, there was no backflipping on the side of the Jets, that's for sure. You there? Okay.
I'm keeping my mouth shut, I told you. I'm keeping the mouth shut today. You know, I'm going to let you talk about your football picks, and I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
We go into Super Bowl predictions that, you know, none of the teams you called ended up in, let's talk about this Sunday. Which would be the Pro Bowl.
Here we go with this shit. Yeah.
The Pro Bowl.
Of course I'm going to be wrong. I picked the refs. How about that? I picked the referees.
The referees in the Pro Bowl, huh? Well, I look at it this way. First off, I just like to say that I think it's the worst fucking decision ever, maybe in the history of the NFL. When they changed the Pro Bowl a few years ago to be before the Super Bowl, because that pretty much guarantees your top-tier guys that are going to be playing in the Super Bowl aren't coming anywhere near your fucking Pro Bowl. I mean, when it was after the Super Bowl, there was a good chance of that anyway, seeing as, you know, guys got parades to attend to, they got to get fitted for rings, they got to be fucking hoisted up and carried around on big king chairs, and the other team is just crushed, you know. They're not trying to fucking play a Pro Bowl, but you know, who knows? I mean, it might get the losing Super Bowl's team's mind off of what just happened. So I don't know, man. I just think that the week before the Super Bowl, it just kills. You know, I just
ridiculous.
Don't think it's a.
I don't know who's that. I don't know whose dumb fucking idea that was to make that rule. But whoever you are, yeah, you're an idiot for making that. Decision.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck went into that. I think it's crazy. So, fuck that shit. But I'm definitely going with my NFC. Of course, I got a first team all-star fucking Pat Willis heading the defense. The strong arm of the law, the motherfucking the head of that defense. Gonna make sure that AFC ain't getting a whole lot going on without a problem, and Pat Willis gonna be there doing that. So I'm going with the NFC.
Man, you make it hard on me.
All right,
you make it real hard on me, Jay. I'm gonna pick the NFC as well.
Yeah, I mean your team's in the NFC too, so you can hate my team all you want, but you know probably gonna be Vic running around there like a fucking madman. You know. And Pat Willis giving the fucking ball back to your guy. So I guess we'll have to cooperate for a week and go with the NFC. Week after that, as I said, I got to go with my pack, man. And not my pack, but, you know, the team I picked in the Super Bowl this year. So, my pick, the pack. Who you got in the Super Bowl, champ?
Oh, you want to call me champ now?
Seeing as you're on such an amazing losing streak, I figure I'll throw that in there.
I see how it is. I see how that is. I'm not going to pick anybody.
Not going to pick anybody.
Nope.
All right. So I guess we'll have a week to mill over what Eric's going to do. And we'll have to force it out of him next week. And we'll see what happens, because we still got 2 weeks of the Super Bowl. And hopefully Eric's bad luck does not strike my NFC dead in the Pro Bowl. And, you know, we'll go on from there.
Yeah.
We got some wrestling talk. We got a bunch of different things to get into. I thought we might want to jump into the interview first tonight, and then get into everything else we got lined up. What do you think, Eric?
You're going to have to give me a second, because my mouse froze. My mouse completely froze. So
the what?
My mouse completely froze. Completely.
Your mouth and your voice, you're chopping up there.
My mouse, my computer.
Your mouse, oh.
Yeah, it completely froze. Can't move it. I may have to do a complete restart on this computer, but you'll still be on the air. You know what I mean?
All right.
You'll still be on the air, but I'll be back in about 2 minutes, all right?
Not a problem. I'll do my best to fill time.
Okay.
Yeah. So, some different shit that's gone on in wrestling. You know, we have the WWE and their Nexus versus the Core and this type of madness. I mean, it's all right, man. It's, you know, CM Punk, I think he's a great leader. He's one of those guys that, you know, really stands out as somebody who can lead a faction and really show that, you know, the heel faction. I think he's a great guy to be the head of that type of thing. You know, and then Wade Barrett, I mean, I guess it's dueling heel factions as far as it looks. I mean, you know, he's another good up-and-coming guy that really has made quite a name for himself. I don't really approve of this, you know, big fake Batista. I didn't approve of the real Batista. So, I mean, this other guy's got a hill to climb before I give a shit. But yeah, man, there's that. There's TNA and all of that stuff. We'll probably get into that a little bit later. But yeah, man, WWE, it's really hasn't caught my interest. Through time, I TiVo that shit, and I'm in and out in 15 minutes. It's a two-hour show, so that's a sad, sad thing. If you could get through 2 hours of something in 15 minutes, you know, if you had a movie that you watched and you could watch 15 minutes of that movie and pretty much sum it up, that's not a good movie. So, you know, but Vince makes his money win, lose, or draw. He goes home. He fucking laughs his way to the bank. No one's hurt. You know, they pretty much easily make the money. You know, whether it be the kids, whether it be whatever, they really don't seem to be suffering whatsoever, no matter how much garbage they put in on their product. You know, some stuff on the indies, we'll get into the indies, but one thing they are doing this weekend is the Royal Rumble. So Sunday we have the Royal Rumble, first time 40 guys in the Royal Rumble. Should be a big, big match. It's always interesting to see the way that they're going to script that and work that out and, you know, how it's going to come down. Who knows, man? I really don't even know who to predict as winner for that. I really, really don't. Shit, I'm not even sure which title it's even going for at this point. I lose track, man. It's like that shell game. You get, you know, those two titles, and then they swap champions, and this guy's champ, and that guy's champ, and this title means this, and this title SmackDown, and this I don't even have track of that anymore. I fast forward through so fast that I really can't even keep track. But, yeah, man, you know, it's one of those bigger shows. So I'll definitely, you know, keep an eye on it and see what happens. And we'll definitely be, you know, be keeping an eye on that. And, yeah. So hopefully we'll get Eric back shortly. And we'll be chatting about some more wrestling, and he could get his mouse back working. He could put his mouse in order, and then you know, we can get this show rolling. We can get Ophidian's interview on, and you know, see where we go from there. It was a pretty great interview. We were originally scheduled to have both of the Osirian Portal on, and it ended up being only Ophidian that was able to come on, but he gave us quite an interview. You know, the vile and venomous Ophidian. It's, yeah, it was something else, man. For those that don't know anything about the Osirian Portal, they are definitely one of the most entertaining tag teams in the indies right now. I mean, their match quality and their gimmick and everything that goes into what they do is just top-notch. Yeah, man, they blow the roof off of crowds, man. It's huge shit. I think we may be getting Eric back in a second.
And I'm back. I'm back.
And he's back. So, you ready to get into that interview?
I'm ready to go. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, I'll ping that, and we'll be back for about a 45-minute interview, so we'll be back with that.
We'll check you out then with much more. Welcome to the show. At this time, one half of the Osirian Portal, the vile and venomous Ophidian. What's going on, man?
Oh, yes. Thank you for having me on.
Not a problem. You know, we wanted to get you on, you know, maybe get into some stuff about your career and, you know, everything that's gone on. Can you give us a little insight on, you know, your training and what went into your training to get into it?
Well, first I must ask you then, do you mean how I trained before I entered professional wrestling or my journey once I entered professional wrestling, my friend?
Well, start me with before professional wrestling.
Oh, well, you know, you're one of the very few people to actually ask me my training beforehand. Many people do not know this, but I'm well-versed in many martial arts styles. I studied in Taekwondo, Gojo-Ryu, and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu way before I entered the arenas of professional wrestling. Oh, yeah, yes.
All right. After that, you know, at a certain point, you did get involved in professional wrestling, and where did you get your training there?
Well, it's no secret that Amatis and myself started our training at the Chikara Wrestle Factory. When we entered there, we were under the tutelage of Chris Hero and Mike Quackenbush. But eventually, that changed from Chris Hero to Claudio Castagnoli. We also had many, many years of experience under guys like Skyda, El Pantetta, and many of the other guest trainers that have entered the Chikara Wrestle Factory over the years. Beyond Chikara, we have also trained at places like the Ring of Honor Wrestling Academy and the CZW Wrestling Academy as well. So Amasas and myself have made our rounds throughout the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah, you sure have. I mean, those are quite prestigious places and excellent people to be training under, so you've obviously been well-versed due to it. Yeah.
I definitely feel like Amasas and myself have got the best training that the independent circuit can offer, training under Hero and Delirious and Quackenbush and Castagnoli. The best, without a doubt, the professional wrestling world has to offer.
Now, how would you say the training regimen was, you know, in Chikara? I mean, obviously the people you train for are top-notch talent. You know, give a little insight to, you know, what it's like to train there.
Well, the training is extremely rigorous. If you've seen the quality of professional wrestler that the Chikara Wrestle Factory has outputted with likes of Eddie Kingston, Hollow Wicked, Jigsaw, your Larry Sweeney's, myself and Amasis. And that doesn't come from, you know, just everyday run-of-the-mill training. No, 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 my friend. Like Claudio Castagnoli, you've seen his physique. You've seen what that man is capable of. The same training he goes through, the same training guys like Mike Quackenbush have gone through, they put us through. So you can only imagine men who work as hard as they do, what they would do to people that they call their own, you know, family, what they would put us through in order to have the same experiences they've been offered and are going through in the world of pro wrestling. Yes.
Now, in, I believe, 2008, you won the tag team titles in the car. What was climbing that ladder like?
My friend, it was a ladder that Amatas and myself ascended extremely quick. Oh, yes. We are the youngest tag team, meaning, you know, from graduating the Wrestle Factory to obtaining the gold Chikara has ever seen. It took us only a year to capture those titles, my friend. And it was, without a doubt, still to this moment, one of the best experiences Masa and I have ever had. To defeat Player Uno and Player Dos, the Super Smash Brothers, unexplainable, undescribable, my friend.
Eric, did you want to maybe throw out a match or two that you've seen and enjoyed? And question.
Oh yeah, you know, to start off first, you know, I've been a long time Chikara fan. You know, been to a lot of shows. You know, since 2005. You know, when they had the Hellertown building and stuff like that. But one match I actually traveled to Philly to see, it was you know, the Osirian Portal's debut match in Chikara, I believe, and they won against Jigsaw and Shane Storm. What was your memories of that match?
Oh, you know, I had been in professional wrestling for a few months prior to debuting with Amasis at Cibernetico and Robin. I actually debuted in the independent scene in June of that year at a place called XCW down in Indianapolis. I'm sorry, the Indiana area, not Indianapolis. So I had kind of shaken those butterflies, if you would say, you know, prior to that show. But Amasis, oh man, that was Amasis' debut. And more so importantly, as you mentioned, that was the Osirian Portal's debut as a team. So although I had already kind of, again, shaken those butterflies off to go out there with my tag team partner, my amigo, my best friend, it was an experience like no other. Definitely, for Amasis and myself, it was a dream come true to wrestle at the ECW Arena, a place that Amasis and I have studied through many a tapes, many a nights watching and learning about the sport, professional wrestling.
And I remember that being that match, you know, your entrance, and you know, people, you know, heard the music and were like, "Who's this? You know, who's this? Who's these guys?" and stuff like that. And to see your entrance, and I mean, for the first time to see you guys scare somebody, you scaring somebody, just coming out of nowhere and just going, you know, and I think people were taken to surprise at how good that match was. I mean, that was the match that really, you know, split up Jigsaw and Shane Storm, you know, at that time, you know. And
you know, you're absolutely right about that. You see, a team like Jigsaw and Shane Storm, they were complacent. They felt that they had 2 points already going into that match. And for those that may be unaware, points are, you know, are needed in Chikara to obtain tag team gold. You know, you must gain 3 points, and they had 2 already, so defeating us would have gained them the 3rd point. And they were complacent. They thought they could just run over a debuting team like Amasis and myself. So to go out there, shock the world, not only in appearance, but by defeating a team like Jigsaw and Shane Storm. It definitely sent ripples, shockwaves, if you will, throughout the Chikara locker room and Chikara as a whole.
And you did it in South Philadelphia, you know, the ECW arena, you know, the most hard, you know, the hardest to please fans out there.
Oh, without a doubt. Amasis and myself are world traveled. We've been all over the place. And the ECW arena is without a doubt the toughest, the nastiest, and some might say, you know, some of the weirdest looking people in the world. And to win those guys over, to win a crowd over like that with our debut, ooh, it warmed the cockles of my soul, my friend.
One of my fondest memories of yourself is you know, one of the first times I actually got to see you guys live. Well, I believe you might have been there by yourself. I'm not really positive, but a couple of years back, they ran, what was it? I think IWA Tri-State over in New Jersey.
Oh, and my friend. I can't believe you actually went to that show.
I know. I was one of the few. And I brought my young daughter there, and we sat in the front row. And you jumped out of the ring, and you lunged and hissed, and I had to hold her for the rest of the show. She was terrified. It was the best part of the entire show. It was something else.
Well, you know, my friend, I've been known to scare the ladies from time to time, and I'm sorry that your daughter was an unfortunate victim of that, but I can guarantee you it saved me many a laugh in the back, without a doubt.
This happens, you know. That was her first experience of a bad guy in wrestling.
Did she ever go back to a wrestling show? Is the important one.
Of course.
She didn't learn.
It was a little while. She was looking out for snakes, but we got her back.
I hope I still haunt her in her sleep.
Come on. What the hell?
Didn't go that far. I mean, what are some of your favorite matches over the years?
Oh, that is a tough question, without a doubt. Well, man, are we talking about on a national level or just more so American wrestler, maybe like WWE, or, you know, we're talking about Japan and Mexico and then the independence.
Well, no, right now I'm talking about matches that you competed in, and,
Well, I can definitely tell you, we've already touched on one, and that was the night Amasis and myself won the Campeonato de Parejas. But beyond that match, the one most recently Chikara just had at Reality's Relative just only a month ago, when we gained an unexpected third member in Jonathan Grisham, with Amasis, myself, and Grisham against the BDK. And in a strange turn of events, with this new partner, one that we've never teamed with before, we defeated them. It was a joyous feeling, without a doubt. Going back maybe a little farther, myself, in the Way to Maladona qualifier match, where it was me against Frightmare, Cloudy, and Rich Swan. Oh, yes, that was a joyous occasion. I defeated the three of them to go on to the Rey de Voladores finals and then became your 2010 Rey de Voladores champion.
And, well, let's go back to what you thought I was asking you. And outside of you know, your personal work, what were some of the matches that were your favorite all-time matches overall in all of wrestling, you know, either before or during you being a wrestler?
I definitely run the gamut when it comes to matches. I mean, I'm a big fan of what Dynamite Kid and Tiger Mask were doing back in the 80s. I'm a fan of what Shawn Michaels, the HBK, and Triple H were doing back when they were feuding in the mid-2000s, my friend. And even more so recently, amongst the independent scene, I am without a doubt, I'm a huge fan of guys like Kota Ibushi and Vince DeVitt and what they're doing at the Super Juniors. I can't say one match specifically, but those guys as a whole, those matches I definitely had a pleasure watching.
What do you think about Santino doing the Cobra in the WWE?
The man has good taste, I must say, without a doubt. The man knows. Unfortunately for him, though, he's not using the Cobra properly, or else he'd win more matches. He needs more oomph in his strike. He needs to just to close his hand just a little harder if he's gonna poke people in the chin, in the face, in the chest. He needs to learn a thing to keep in mind. But I'm definitely a big fan of Santino Marella.
Have you guys looked into maybe firing a claim against gimmick infringement on that one or no?
No, my friend. Imitation is the most sincerest form of flattery. And to be completely honest, to steal a line from Chikara, talent borrows, but genius steals. So I am not angry, my friend. I am happy that he decided to take that and kind of make it his own.
Now, you mentioned Kota Ibushi and a few other people. I'd imagine they're on that list. But what are some dream matches that you can see you and Amasis teaming up and taking on as tag teams?
Well, Amasis and myself have been lucky enough to obtain some of our dream matches already, my friend, when we wrestled and defeated the Briscoe brothers back in November of last year. We also had the opportunity to go to Japan and wrestle Akuto Hidaka for the NWA International Light Heavyweight Tag Title with his partner, Mirunosawa. But beyond the dream matches that Amasis and myself have already had, we would without a doubt love if they were still around to wrestle the Legion of Doom, my friend. Hawk and Animal were a huge influence on Amasis and myself. Man. Beyond that, maybe even Claudio and Hiro, the Kings of Wrestling, because in order to be the best, you have to defeat the best. And without a doubt, the Kings of Wrestling are the best tag team in the world today.
Yeah, they definitely, they're one of, if not the best, that's for sure.
Yes, and I understand that is a matter of opinion, but my opinion, as the Masters would say, is gospel.
Yeah. Well, you guys have quite a case for yourselves as one of the best tag teams out there, you know.
Some may say. I happen to think we are a very good tag team. I do not say we are the best because, my friend, if you are the best, then you've done it all in this business, and I'm asking myself if you have to do it all.
Right. What are some of your goals in this business?
Well, I'm asking myself, are pretty content with where we're at and what we're doing. And that is to say, climbing the ranks of independent wrestling. Because we have pretty much done a lot of what we started to do within the short few years of my life in wrestling. We've been overseas to Europe. We've been overseas to Japan. And we, later this year, are going back. And I will not reveal much more than that. But that itself has been our biggest goal, our biggest dream, to wrestle in front of the Japanese fans. And to have already done that, and to have the opportunity to go back. Oh, yes. Feels so good.
Yeah, so Japan was very big, right?
Oh, yes. Cork and Hall. It's a place where many wrestlers over here in America wish to just walk into the locker room. Not so much even wrestle, just to be in that building. But Amasis and I were able to perform in front of a packed Cork and Hall crowd. And not only debut at Cork and Hall, but win our debut match. It's a shock and awe everybody over there.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. That's more or less the mecca of wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Amasis and I definitely hoping to shoot higher over the next couple of years and to move from Cork and Hall to the biggest and best, and it's the Tokyo Dome. But, baby steps. We won't rush into that just yet.
Right. What are your thoughts on working CZW? You just had a run there recently, and I got the chance to see that. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, my system died. Said from the get-go, it was go hard or go home, my friend. So we went hard month in and month out. We dominated the tag team tournaments at CZW, made it all the way to the finals, went through all the teams CZW had to offer. It was an experience like no other. And when we made it to the finals in front of a sold-out ECW arena, now called the Asylum Arena, in front of a sold-out Asylum Arena, We shocked, we awed, we made people laugh, we made people cry. We ran the gamut of emotions, my friend. Unfortunately, though, as we said before, go hard or go home, we lost. Philly's Most Wanted cheated, defeated us, and we went home.
Now, is there a chance you're going to come back one day?
No, my friend. Have you been listening? Go hard or go home. We gave it the shot. We had an opportunity. Amasis and myself were unable to capitalize. So, we packed our bag and we went home.
Wow. Yeah, CZW fans would surely like to see you back. I mean, you guys blew the roof off that building. You had the place in a frenzy. And maybe, you know, you could work on whatever it was that didn't let you, you know, go hard enough and come back and take over.
You mentioned earlier that the Philadelphia fans are the hardest to win over. But not just Philadelphia fans, the CZW faithful. Those fans are harder than any other fans that enter the Asylum Arena. And to win them over, to have them chant our names and cheer, to stand with an ovation for us. Ooh, that now truly won the cockles of my soul.
Right. Eric, you got some more, matches and questions you got to throw out there?
Of course, I got plenty.
You guys
as a team, on a few occasions wrestled for ROH, particularly wrestling against Kevin Steen and El Generico. What was your thoughts on the time you spent in Ring of Honor?
Well, our run with Ring of Honor was definitely short-lived. But the few matches that we had there were, without a doubt, a learning experience. Amasis and myself were thrown into the mix right away, wrestling the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. You know, it was, especially in that situation, to bring back that old analogy, go hard or go home, it was definitely go hard from the get-go when we entered Ring of Honor. Kevin Steen and El Generico, specifically Kevin Steen, probably hit me harder than I've ever been hit in my life, my friend. And that was a wake-up call. If we were going to compete with teams like that, it was without a doubt time to step our game up. And I feel that we did. Oh, yes, because since then, we've done many things, accomplished many goals.
Yeah. Have you guys ever worked for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla?
Ooh. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is a company that Amasis and myself look to wrestle for one day. And I'm pretty sure that one day it will happen. Just those roads have yet to been opened up to us.
Yeah, I definitely hope to see you over there. I mean, you guys seem like a perfect fit anywhere you go. And, they got quite a roster over here. I think you have some dream matches over there as well.
Oh, yes. There's definitely a few. I mean, just to name a few of the Young Bucks who we've had the opportunity to wrestle, but never in a team-on-team match. There's always been other people in the mix. So that, without a doubt, would be an awesome matchup for Masters and myself at PWG, as well as many of the other wrestlers that come through their, curtain.
Yeah, that match you're speaking, you know, the time that you wrestled the Young Bucks and stuff like that, you were teaming with a fellow named Escorpión Egipcio, if I said it right.
Oh, Escorpión Egipcio, my friend.
How did he come in the loop? Did you, kind of like brought him in for a while?
Well, my friend, right after we obtained the Campeonatos de Parejas, Amasis and myself realized there was a target on our backs. right after we obtained the gold, that your car held a tournament by the name of Tag World Grand Prix to crown a new number one contender to fight for our titles. So Masters and myself did not take too kindly to that. No, no, no. We went back to the drawing board. We went back home to Egypt, and we researched. We dug through the sands. We slithered. We danced our way throughout all of Egypt and found ourselves a man that was big, that was strong, that was bronzed like Scorpion Ezio was. And we brought him back to Chikara to watch our backs, to make sure no team would just sneak up on us like the colony did to try to steal our gold. Unfortunately for us, Scorpion didn't work out so well.
What else you got, Eric?
I want to talk about some promotions now that you guys work for, and you know, just let you know, give me your thoughts on those promotions. One of them that you've been working for, out of Maryland, RCW.
Real Championship Wrestling. Yes.
What do you think about them?
RCW, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we are currently the RCW Tag Team Champions.
Yep, I'm aware of that.
Amasis and myself are undefeated in that promotion. We ran through the ranks, even through the likes of the Briscoe brothers, to obtain the more contendership, and then defeated Devin Moore and Adam Cole to obtain their gold. Now, my friend, if you're looking for good action, great wrestling in the state of Maryland, RCW is without a doubt the place to be. They offer so much on their shows. You have men like Claudio Castagnoli, like Delirious, like the Briscoe brothers, Amasis and myself. Oh, yes, Devin Moore, Adam, young guys like Adam Cole and Rich Swann, all making their way to the RCW ranks. If you or anybody or anybody listening are in the state of Maryland, you should definitely check out RCW.
All right, another company that I want to talk about is a Force One. You guys been, you know, working there for a while. What do you think about working Force One?
Force One has been a company we were with when they opened their doors. Believe it or not, that was one of the very first places that Amasis and I wrestled for outside of Chikara. Yes, when starting to wander the world of wrestling. And that was many years ago, back in 2007. Unfortunately, though, it didn't work out for us there, and we left. And then an overhaul happened. They closed their doors and reopened with a new team, with a new group of guys. The relaunch, which is at the beginning of 2010, happened, and I came back with Amasis, and we've been there ever since. And boy, it's been a fun ride. You want to talk about just gritty, just underground wrestling. That's definitely the place to be, my friend. Yes. We've actually had the opportunity to do things that we've never done anywhere else. There are teams there like the Runaways, Joe Gacy and Ryan Slater, that have pushed us to our limits, to the point where we wrestled against those guys in no DQ matches. Amasis and myself have also wrestled in our first cage match in that promotion.
Now, something I want to ask you about, too, you know, I think the lineup has changed since, but I've seen you announce for the Carnage Cup. And like I said, I think the lineup has changed, but, I mean, that is a deathmatch tournament. Is this something that you've gotten into, or?
Well, unfortunately, I and the rest of the Jakar wrestler that was supposed to be on that show are no longer a part of Carnage Cup due to unfortunate circumstances outside of our control. But there was a point in time where, yes, I was willing to give it a shot, my friend, just to expand the horizons, if you will. Test the waters. You know, I'm willing to give anything a shot just once. Just once.
That's,
and who knows?
That's a crazy field to step in.
Oh, without a doubt. But you don't know until you try.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm not trying none of that.
Oh, I can tell you, my friend, though, since that didn't work out, it will never happen. You will never see a Bofiti nor a Masters in a death match or any kind of death match setting.
Okay, okay.
We had one opportunity to make it work, and unfortunately it did not work.
Okay. I understand. What Eric, what's up?
All right, well, here's another one, and I was at this match live, and I thought this match was off the charts in other terms. Your match with the Southside Players Club, Jersey All-Pro, that match was interesting, entrance-wise and wrestling-wise.
You know, there's so many good memories. Oh, Jersey also. So many good memories. So many strippers and kissing and champagne and you take me back, my friend, to a good place. Yes. Give me a second. I'm letting it settle, letting it sink in. Okay. So Amasis and myself, when entering Jersey All-Pro, we told them to give us everybody. We don't care who it is. We'll take anybody on. And lucky for us, they answered our requests with the Southside Player Club, Mo Saxton and Joe Hardway. And even luckier, excuse my incorrect English, you're just still kind of picking up on it. They had strippers. Not only strippers that accompanied them to the ring, but strippers that danced on poles at the entranceway, and strippers that walked around the ring and poured champagne all over themselves, and strippers that bent over and had champagne poured on them, and then they had Mia Yim, who looks like a stripper. I didn't even care if I wrestled the match. I was happy just being at ringside with so many beautiful women, my friend. And let me tell you something, Amasis loves the white women.
Speaking of the Southside Players Club and being you are a Cobra, did you get into wrestling for the Rats?
Just to kind of take a step back, if you will, to the Southside Players Club. I'm not aware of which match you happen to see, my friend, because we did wrestle them on more than one occasion. But my favorite moment in Jersey All-Pro is when we hypnotized the strippers, my friend. We hypnotized them. And me and Amasis, we stood in the ring. We brought them close together. And just when Amasis and I were about to get caught from behind by Mo Saxton and Joe Hardway, they stopped. And you might be asking yourself, why would they stop attacking us in the middle of a match while we have our backs turned to them? Well, my friend, they stopped for good reason. Yes, because Amasis and myself made those two strippers make out in front of a packed audience at Jersey All-Pro, and we all stood there and enjoyed that moment and just let it sink in. We registered it in the back of our head, and now that image is something that will live with me forever. Oh, yes. Let me ask you, my friend, when's the last time you've been to a professional wrestling show and strippers make out?
Hey, you know, Cobras like the Rats. They have quite a way with rats.
Hey, let me tell you, buddy. I have a way with the ladies. Oh, yeah.
Did you guys decide to take any of those strippers, you know, back to Egypt with you or no?
They have a way with hypnotism.
Yes, we do. So we've got plenty of ladies groveling at our feet at all times. When you
absolutely
look as good as Amasis and I do, when you've got a face as beautiful as myself, women just throw themselves at you.
Yeah, their hypnotism made Joe Gacy slide on his forehead. I mean, I don't know who else could do that, so the world is endless to them.
I once made John Moxley eliminate himself from a battle royal by hypnotizing him.
Yes, definitely.
I could do many great things with my hypnotism.
All right, so let's go from promotions to countries. You guys got to travel overseas to Germany. What was the experience working in Germany like? And the crowd and stuff like that. I mean, the crowd, you know, they're allowed to get so close to the ring and, you know, touch the ring while the matches are going on. What was that experience like for you guys?
Well, when we talked about earlier about the hardest fans to impress, being the fans of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I would say Germany is almost the opposite of that, my friend. Germany, the fans are just so warming and welcome. They loved us. They were at ringside pounding on the mat, chanting things that I've never heard any crowd chant before. They are, without a doubt, the best fans in the entire world. WXW's fans are the greatest. Oh, yes, and
wow.
It's an atmosphere. Having that atmosphere where the fans are that close to you in the ring, you know, they're pretty much a part of the show with you. This is not sitting there watching. They're a part of it, you know. You feed them off of their emotion when they're there in, at, by ringside, yelling and screaming and pounding and just getting into everything that you're doing out there, my friend. It's a joyous feeling.
Now, with WXW coming over in April to do a U.S. tour, are you going to be part of that?
Unfortunately, we will not be a part of that, my friend. But something we will be a part of. Actually, no, let me rephrase that. We will be a part of their tour. And to an extent,
okay.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but WXW is holding a show with Force One Pro Wrestling the night before their doubleheader with CZW. It's going to be Force One versus WXW, and we will be there ready to take on anybody WXW throws in our way.
Excellent. That's great to hear.
Now going back to, Jersey All-Pro, they have something huge coming up. With New Japan coming over, do you guys see yourselves, you know, possibly going, you know, to try to get in there or, you know, with New Japan, or is that somewhere you'd like to be?
That is definitely a place we would like to be. There are many wrestlers in New Japan that we would love to do battle with in the confines of the squared circle. And we still do have a wonderful relationship with Jersey All-Pro. So never say never, my friend.
Hey, Eric, yeah, I know you might have some more questions, but one thing I definitely want to get out of the way is something I've highly anticipated, and I would like to have Ophidian cut us a Yakuza Kick Radio promo via the Osirian portal.
Well, my friend, would you like me to plug the show? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, absolutely. Like your own promo for our show and, you know, through the mind of Ophidian.
Okay, my friend. So, it was prophesied in the days of legend, and so it has come to pass in the days of mediocrity. Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice. Oh, yes, my friend. So whether you're an Egyptian, an American, or a Canadian, a Mexican, it doesn't matter. You better be there to listen to Yakuza Kick Radio. Yes.
That's awesome, brother. All right, Eric, what else you got?
All right, I want to, you know, quickly, plug the upcoming Chikara show, you know, the first one for the new year, 2011, January 23rd at the Sunday at the Asylum Arena in South Philadelphia. You guys have a six-man tag match with you and Amasis and the new member, Jonathan Gresham, taking on Fist of Chuck Taylor, Icarus, and Johnny Gargano.
Oh, yes. This will definitely be a true trial by fire for the Osirian portal. For those that are unaware, Jonathan Gresham was given to us by surprise back in the month of December at Chikara's season finale. You see, Wolf Amasura said, "Hey, Osirian portal, you've been looking for a third member. Well, I think I found one for you. and he placed Jonathan Grisham in our hands. And we took him, and we battled the BDK, and we were victorious. So Amasis and myself took it upon ourselves to transform Jonathan Grisham. So we taught him how to walk like an Egyptian. We taught him how to talk like an Egyptian. And we've even gone as far as to teach him how to dress like an Egyptian. So on January 23rd, when Amasis and myself and the newly transformed Jonathan Grisham take on Fist, yes, it will without a doubt be a sight for all. A wonderful, victorious sight.
I see in the past, too, there was a point where you taught Drake Younger how to walk like an Egyptian, and he's been pretty successful since.
Oh, I didn't have to teach Drake Younger anything, my friend. That man has rhythm in his feet. Oh, he's got the dance fever, my friend. That man can boogie like the best of them.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know how often you get to see Drake Younger get down, my friend, but he gets down around us all the time.
That's great. Eric, you got some more matches or?
I got another company. I totally forgot. I don't know why. You know, I forgot about this company, but you guys work for Dragon Gate USA, and you know that's another big company that you know, came over to the United States and really made an impact. And you know, what do you guys think about your time in Dragon Gate USA?
So, Dragon Gate USA was a bit of a sore subject for myself when they first came around. You see, at the debut show, Amasis and myself were supposed to team together in the what was called the Chikara Showcase match, right? Because Amasis and myself at the time were the Chikara Campeones de Parejas. But a few weeks before Dragon Gate's debut, I broke my arm and was out of work for a few months, my friend. So I was unable to perform at their debut alongside Amasis. Yes. But Dragon Gate, they knew Amasis and I wanted it. We needed it. So they gave us the opportunity recently on their debut on iPay-Per-View, where we wrestled Aki Bono and Brody Lee, the biggest tag team in professional wrestling today. You don't get much bigger than a 500-pound sumo wrestler and the big rig Brody Lee, a 6'6" trucker. The crowning moment, definitely a moment in our careers, one of the best, was when we made Aki Bono dance, my friend. Oh, we made him get down. We made him boogie with the portal. A man that's a legend across the world. And a Yokozuna, for those of you unaware, a sumo heavyweight champion for almost 8 years. Amasis and I were able to distract him long enough to hypnotize him and then make him dance on pay-per-view in front of hundreds, maybe even thousands of fans. Yes.
Yes, definitely, man. Eric.
Yeah, I got another question. You know, the BDK. The BDK. They, you know, they've been running around Chikara, you know, terrorizing Chikara. What do you guys think about the BDK? And, you know, I know you guys just wrestled them at the last show, but, you know, they're starting to fall, you know, kind of apart a little bit.
Well, there was a time when the BDK, they were the new kids on the block. So, not to say that they haven't been wrestling for many years, but their formation together was new to everybody. It was a shock to the world. And when somebody, especially an entity like the BDK, or H. Strong's, come into the picture, they're going to take you by surprise. And that they did. They walked all over us, my friend, when they first appeared on the scene. But let me tell you this. When it comes down to the get down, my friend, the Assyrian Portal are always ready to put in some work. And that we did. We trained, we trudged, we trudged, we slithered, we danced, our way to get better and stronger to defeat the BDK. And by the end of the year, that we did. Oh, yes. So regardless of what the BDK may say, however tight their hold is, their grasp on Chikara, it is never strong enough. No, no, no. Because when your heart is as big as the people in Chikara, you're never going to defeat us.
Yeah, definitely. Eric.
Yeah, I'm pretty much all out of questions.
All right. Well, you know, I'd like to thank you for coming on. Much love and much luck, although you don't need it, to the Osirian portal. And you got all the respect and support of Yakuza Kick Radio over here. And, yeah, man, we hope to talk to you in the future.
Well, thank you, Yakuza Kick Radio, for having me on. It was a pleasure to talk about the thing I love most in this world, outside of the Osirian portal, that is, and that's professional wrestling. Oh, yes.
Absolutely, man. Thank you again, and we'll be talking to you later, man.
Adios, amigos.
All right. We'll be back.
We are back.
All right, we're back. Like to say, that was a great interview. You know, I had a great time talking to the violent, venomous Ophidian. Definitely a nice thing. Figure I'll come back and I'll throw out a few plugs. We might throw plugs later too, but I'm gonna keep people on their toes and keep people remembering, because you know this isn't a 1 week thing. This is a week in, week out. You know, I'm no fortune teller, but I'm gonna say that it's gonna be a couple of years that we're gonna have to keep this in people's mind, and that's everybody, you know, needs to go out there and support Nick fucking Gage, and you know, write this guy letters. I got my letter written. Of course, I'm far behind schedule, and it will be sent in the next few days. It's completely written. I just need to put it in an envelope and send it. And everybody support Nick Gage, man. Send your letters to Nicholas Wilson, inmate number 246670, P.O. Box 90430, Camden, New Jersey 08102. You know, show this guy some love. Hold this guy down, man. He's going to be in there for a minute. He did some wrong shit. But, you know, the amount of entertainment this guy's put out, time in and time out for us, he deserves somebody to, you know, come out and support him right now. And I think he needs to have the same crowd that echoed his name through those arenas, through the CZW arena, through Sewell, through everywhere this guy was. You guys need to, you know, send your letters, man. Support this guy. You know, you got a couple bucks you can send him. Do that through, has to be a U.S. postal money order. Has to be a U.S. postal money order. Can't send cash, they'll send it back to you. Can't send your own check. Can't send any other money order. Has to be a U.S. postal money order. Send it to that address and help to do it out. All right? So off of that, let's get back to the show. Some wrestling to talk about. I think Eric is watching a certain bullshit company, and what's going on there?
I just have it on the background. I'm watching it on mute, but it looks very stupid. The women's division looks a little bit better than the WWE's women's division. But I hate this shit, man. This is so boring.
I didn't get an update on who exactly stole Ophidian's move, but Sabian had just put up a couple minutes ago that someone on that dastardly TNA promotion had stole one of Ophidian's spots. So while we were on with his interview, someone on TV was stealing his fucking spot. Big fucking shock. You know,
They must have checked out our. They must have checked out our show. Oh wait, they can't. Yeah, because they'll be fucking. No. They'll be. They'll be. They'll be. will be fired if they would. If they would check
right,
out Internet
well,
Radio.
The indies breed talent and innovation, and, you know, the higher-ups, they have the exposure, they have the paychecks, but when it comes down to it, they're learning off the indies. You know, that's something that a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people like to paint the indies as a off-Broadway play or this and that, but if that was the case, well, then Broadway is learning from off-Broadway because those are the hungry guys. Those are the guys that are creating. Those are those, you know, if you're into music, that's that first album when the band is hungry, when the group is hungry, when the rapper is hungry, when whoever comes out and you know that first album can never be matched even by that same guy. That's the indies. That's what you're dealing with. So when you see these guys that they're coasting and they got a cushy career, they're looking back on the guys that are hungry, creating new stuff every day. So, you know, imitation's highest form of flattery, just like Ophidian said in the interview. So, really can't expect anything less.
You're right, bro.
Yeah.
Or maybe Sabian was checking out our show. Maybe he was listening. Maybe that's why Ophidian came up.
Huh?
I said maybe Sabian was listening to our show tonight. Maybe that's why the name Ophidian came up. That's why he brought it up. Who knows?
No, it's possible, man. Who knows? But, yeah, so, Ric Flair bugged out somewhere over in England or some shit. They left him at the hotel. All sorts of crazy shit. I heard they're leaving him. They're putting him back on the tour now. So, pretty much everybody in the locker room is going to be disgruntled, and they're all just going to flip out because of, you know, motherfuckers is wilding, man. I mean, what can you do?
I don't know why an old man like that would start problems, but he is, and he should be ashamed. He should be ashamed of himself at the age he's at. What, he's at like 7 years old, and he's still pulling these stupid stunts?
He's a kid at heart.
This is
you
ridiculous.
Know? He's a kid at heart.
I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear that. He's an old man. He's not even like in like his 30s. He's a 60-year-old man, and he thinks he's like in his teenage years. He's ridiculous. He
Rick Blair is a Toys R Us kid. You know?
He should be ashamed of himself. Come on, Jay. Are you serious? Like,
he's a Toys R Us kid. He don't want to grow up. So what happens?
Oh my gosh. When he's 80 years old, he's still going to be trying to bang girls and do all that.
Nothing, man. I mean, you can't think for 1 second he's trying and failing. I mean, Ric Flair is nailing. I mean, he's Viagra it up, laying pipe like
he
fucking like the Mario Brothers. This motherfucker is.
He should be the spokesperson for Viagra. I mean, he uses it that much, but that's not what I'm saying. I think that Ric Flair is getting, I'm getting tired of hearing about Ric Flair causing problems and Ric Flair causing this and Ric Flair doing that. It's ridiculous. I mean, come on. Are you serious? Like, are you seriously going to support a guy who still acts like he's in high school? You know, acting like a jerk? I mean, come on.
Well, to beat a man, you got to beat the man. I believe that's how it was said. And,
You have to kiss the ass bookers to beat the man, because that's the way the wrestling business is.
Well, you gotta pay the man or leave the man at the hotel. So, I mean, they're rewriting this phrase all the time. Who knows? I really don't know.
I don't want to do that. I don't know. We're not gonna do that. Not right now. Jake, have a caller on the. I think it's the same number as last week. Yakuza. Oh shit! Let me screen this call real quick.
All right. Oh boy, Eric's always getting these calls, man. I just, you know.
Oh no, not this. Oh, Jay, guess who we have online?
Who's that?
It's that fucking maniac.
I guess you're gonna have to let him on, man. I mean, you cut him off last week, so.
Can we put him on? I don't put him on. All right, we'll put him on. But it's gonna be your fault if he acts up. All right.
Well, you can pretty much plan on that.
You gotta keep him in check. You know,
that's on you, Eric.
All righty, let me put him on. I want to welcome to the show with my great privilege. Welcome to the show, the Masked Maniac.
I gotta tell you, you cut me off last week, you jabroni. You should be selling tickets for me. I should have 300 people in the crowd because you're out there in the streets selling your ass for tickets. I can't even understand how you would hang up on a legend, an icon, a massive force such as the Masked Maniac. I can't even understand. There's people selling tickets right now for me. What kind of response? You don't even have a response for a guy like me. I was at Disney World last week. I got to tell you, my arms are bigger than Mickey Mouse's fucking head. This guy, I don't even know what's going on with him. I was in the Jaws ride, and I was standing there. I was by the side of the Jaws ride, and I'm looking at this guy with his little arms flapping around in the water. What? Who's scared of this guy? Why is anybody scared of this guy? This guy's in the water with the little arms.
Masked Maniac, what's your thoughts on John Moxley? You like him or no?
I don't even know who Moxley is. He could probably sell tickets for me. He sounds like a great ticket seller.
Hell yeah.
Moxley,
definitely.
He can make the box for me. He can make the box office. You know, he could come in. He could fly your cars.
That's right. Ticket
speaking
seller.
Of flyers, I mean, I'm really looking for somebody to make flyers for me because I still got a bounty out on somebody in Chicago. They call it Chi-Town. I got to tell you, I'm not shy. I'll come to that town. You'll understand why everybody in the town is shy, because they met the Masked Maniac.
I don't think anybody cares about the Masked Maniac, to be honest with you. I think you have a big ego, and you just need to shut up.
I'd be shy, too, if I had a guy like this. That man in the flyers and saying that I'm going to stick a hot dog, a live, raw hot dog in your ass. If I don't get them glossy flyers with Kamala's picture on it, there's going to be hell to pay.
Oh,
from
my gosh.
Florida to Chicago to New York. I got to tell you, Demolition is going to tear the roof off. I just booked the original gangster, New Jack. You thought he was retired, but when he gets the call from Frank Goodman, you got to know. He's online. He's ready. He's strapping them boots up. He'll give me an 85-minute match. Yeah, he'll wheel a dumpster to the ring. You used to see him with a garbage can, but a maniac, he'll drive a garbage truck to the ring, right through the doors in Florida. I gotta tell you, it's nothing to blink at. There's nothing to be too confident about any other companies out there. I gotta tell you, because you got New Jack, you got the Ugandan Giant, Kamala. Demolition.
Maniac, who the hell cares about your damn promotion? How many people are you going to draw, like 50? 60?
You got my world champion, Rhino. And I got balls. I got balls and Rhino.
I heard he had
20
pussy.
20 minutes, no ref.
I heard he had pussy. That's all I heard. I heard that. That's all I heard.
What did you hear?
I said, I heard you had pussy. It wasn't balls, it was pussy.
Well, if you've heard my radio show, you would hear me talking all about my penis to another man for a long, long time. So there is no way I would have a pussy, because I talk about tanning my penis. I talk about how large my penis and potent my penis is to other men. So you would know that there's no pussy involved
here. You must be using that penis pump or something like that.
Well, speaking of pump, I got to tell you, that Scott Steiner, his arms are puny. Compared to me, that guy, Papa Pump, this guy should call himself Papa Chump. When he's dealing with me, I get in that ring, I flex these stupid-looking arms and my beak of a nose. It's crazy. I'll take all of Jerusalem out with the size of my arms.
Masked Maniac. Missionary just sent me a message, and he said that you're not going to get your flyers, you dumb prick.
Well, that's ridiculous. I can't even understand why someone would come out of their base like that. I'll take out the whole city of Chicago with my arms alone, let alone my potent penis. I just went spray tanning today, and they wouldn't even recognize me. I'll show up there with a mask on. No one will even know who I am, and I'm going to eat 3 boxes of matzahs before I even touch down in Chicago. You got to know, I'm going to be gassed up. I'm going to be all ready. It's not going to be a good sight. I got to tell you.
Hey, Maniac. Have you ever heard of a guy named Reginald or Reggie? Have you ever heard of him? I think he knows more about wrestling than you will.
I've never heard of a Reggie. I mean, that Reggie Jackson? I used to love Reggie Jackson. That was one of the only black guys that I actually liked in my lifetime. And I can't be racist because my wife, you know, she's one of those type of people. You know, some people call her a gook. Sometimes I call her a gook when I'm mad. But, you know, that's something else. I'm not racist, though. I can't be racist. She's from the Philippines. Who does that?
Right, right. Now, Maniac, I don't know if you want to hear anything, but I have a clip of somebody on YouTube.
Okay. I mean, you got the YouTube, I got a big tube in my pants right here. You know, I don't know what you got. YouTube ain't shit compared to mine. I got arms and tube. I got everything.
All right, well,
You go ahead. You play whatever you want to play.
I'll play the clip, and then I'll play what I think of you, okay?
All right.
Let me tell you something. Don Tony! It's Reggie here, a.k.a. Bubba Gump. Well, you poor, sorry. Let me tell you something, Don Tony. You don't disrespect me, because I hit you with this frying pan. I just bang him. Wham with this frying pan. You want to talk about me? You couldn't even invite me as a guest. I don't care about this frying pan. You couldn't even invite me as a guest on your show so I can own you? Who do you think you are, Don? And the wrestling suit with your little retarded friend. I tell you something, brother. Let me tell this idiot. You call me a retard? That's invalid. I passed my SOL test today. I made good grades in school and everywhere I go. So you, Don Tony, and your band of gypsies, bring it, Don. But you know what? Do you see this? And you want to buy some matches, Nick Gage? See, he'll probably hit you with it. No, he ain't give you a big boot. Hit you with my pants. Idea. Come on, get at me, it's war, because you can't get views without bashing people. You bash Ring of Honor, you bash TNA, you bash other people, you can't get any views, and Bubba the Love Sponge don't even like you. I don't even really care for Bubba the Love Sponge. But you are a poor man's Bubba the Love Sponge. And that's why you compare me to Bubba Gump, because you wish you could be Bubba the Love Sponge, which you'll never be. You are nobody. Goodbye, Don the Coward, Retard, Punk, Tony.
Right there. Are you there? What's even going on with this show? Are we live? Let's go. Let me tell you. This guy came on the air. He was talking stuff about my friend, my buddy.
And I think I had some technical difficulties over here, but Maniac, I'm tired of hearing you. I'm gonna put J-Cat, bring him back in the loop. I muted him, because I think I could take care of it. But Maniac, you're suspended for the week. Goodbye. Ah, okay, we're back. Jay, I don't know.
Hey.
I mean, I thought I could handle it, you know, and it got out of hand, and I had to play a couple
of some sure did. Stuff. I was listening, man. He got crazy, and
he's getting annoying.
Yeah.
I'm about to go down to Florida and beat his ass. Just, you know.
Well, I wish you luck. I mean, one thing he's right about is his arms are pretty fucking big.
All I gotta do is put a needle in the arms and pop those son bitches right out.
Well, if that's what you think is the right move, then go ahead. But one thing I wanted to say, you know, about the video that was just played, that is our good friend Reggie. Now, Reggie has become somewhat of a YouTube internet sensation. The guy has very hilarious and very entertaining views and opinions, and he voices them through YouTube, and he has two different channels, which I would like to promote for Reggie. One is H9U Able, so that's H9UABLE. On YouTube, and the other one is Reggie Tiller, TILLAR 100 on YouTube. And I gotta tell you, this guy is a very, very entertaining guy, and not only that, he is going to be our guest on next week. As a first installment of a segment that we'll probably run from time to time on having Reggie on and giving his opinions on things and showing that, we are also open to fans and people who have opinions on things. And I think we could do some pretty big, pretty entertaining things with this guy. You know, he's a fan, whether you agree with his things or not. One thing I'll put out there from the start is that our fellow radio guy, Don Tony, when Reggie put up his clips, Reggie put up his posts and his videos, my first instinct was, man, this guy is fucking gold. We got to get him on the show. So sure enough, we did that. We pre-recorded his interview about a week and a half ago type thing. Next thing, I check on his YouTube, and Don Tony has gone out of his fucking way to bash, degrade, disrespect this kid. And the fact of the matter is Reggie's only 16 years old. Don Tony is 40 years old. I mean, if we're just going to keep all ages out there, I'm 32. So, but you look at the way that I come off, you look at the way that he comes off. Now, I think that, you know, Reggie can put his opinion out there any way he wants to. If I choose to find it funny, I think that's perfectly okay. I don't think that that's me taking advantage of anything. I just think that's me looking at something in a comedic light. And most people who do watch that find it the same way that I do. We're going to try to help Reggie get more views on his YouTube channel because he really enjoys that. He does his best to try to promote CZW, and, you know, I wish him the best on that. But, you know, the kid means well, and the bottom line is that at a 40-year-old man, you should not be attacking 16-year-olds for any given reason. That's like waiting for the school bus to pull up at the corner and just running up on just throwing like a Yakuza kick on the first fucking kid with a smart look on his face. And standing over him and talking shit. Like, come on, man. You're 40 years old. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to pick fights with fucking 16-year-old kids. There's no excuse for picking fights with 16-year-old kids. So that's my thing right there. So for that right there, you know, I'm not going to defend some of the stuff Reggie says. And I'm not going to say nobody should find it funny because, by all means, take it for what you like it for. And laugh your ass off if you think it's funny. You know, but check the dude out. He's got some wild opinions. He's very passionate about his shit. And, like I said, the only time I'm defending him for real is I don't think that he should be attacked by grown-ass men. I don't think that he should be put on blast and attacked by grown-ass men and taken to task by someone who's 40 years old. Like, these motherfuckers need to get lives because they're in much, much worse shape than the 16-year-old kid that cares about wrestling. You know what I mean? So, Reggie will be on next week. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I hope everybody enjoys that for sure. Yeah, I just think, you know, some different things needed to come to light about that because it just has gone a little bit too far with this Don Tony guy. And that's where that video, like, Don Tony bashed him and the audio we just played of Reggie, that was his response. And for those of you who have not seen the video, you need to go see the video. But you heard the sound. He was banging on a frying pan and threatening the man with a frying pan. So it's classic video. You need to check that shit out. He was also supposed to be on tonight on the Wrestling Soup, and I, you know, contrary to whatever beliefs, whatever, I never told anybody not to go on anywhere. Hopefully he will have a change of heart going Wrestling Soup tonight. Win, lose, or draw, check Wrestling Soup out. They're friends of mine over there. Anthony Missionary Thomas is a good friend of ours, and Joey Numbers is highly entertaining. That's Wrestling Soup. And it's wrestlingsoup.podomatic.com. You can check that out after our show's over. So that's, you know, big shout out to them. Any other wrestling things you want to talk about?
Not really. I mean, I'm kind of disgusted with the wrestling scene right now.
Well, I mean, we got some more time, so we might as well bullshit. But another thing I definitely wanted to plug is our first guest on the show, Johnny Cashmere. He has a very successful radio show going on right, you know, not right now, but right now he's currently running a very successful radio show called Life is Callous with Johnny Cashmere, and that's Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's www.wildtalkradio.com, and you could Life is Callous, that's his show, and you could check out the archives. I mean, this guy's had people from the Cake Boss show, from Carlo's Bakery. He's got guys from there. This Sunday, I believe he has Andy Dick. I mean, this guy has, like, a great amount of guests, like, from all sorts of reality shows and just different genres. And he's run a very impressive gambit of guests. You know, I mean, you see the guests and it's like, oh, you know that show? Well, I got this guy. You know this show? I got this guy. And, I mean, he's really running the gambit of getting really noticeable guests on there. So, yeah, big shout-out to Johnny Cashmere. Everybody check that shit out if you haven't heard it. I'm sure there's something that'll come along the lines that'll catch somebody's interest, whether it be cooking or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, check him out. It's our homeboy. What else? They announced, what was it, a six-man? I believe a six-man for the CZW show coming up. And let me see what the competitors of that is. That would be Jonathan Gresham, Ty Hagen, because he has fully adapted to the – he's not Tyler Veritas anymore. He is Ty Hagen now, which was, I guess, his shoot name. And that was brought out by his nemesis, his past friend and now nemesis, Adam Cole. And, you know, now he is officially Ty Hagen. So the big scramble is going to be... Oh, hold on. It's a little off time. That's going to be Jonathan Gresham, Ty Hagen, Ryan McBride, Rich Swann, Aaron Arbo making his return to CZW, and AR Fox in a six-man. And that's going to be to impress and possibly get into Best of the Best. Now, this isn't necessarily for a spot in the Best of the Best, but it's to get the attention to get a shot into Best of the Best, which I don't fully understand, but... Another thing I'm really unsure about CZW-wise is they had clearly announced that they were having a dream match. And the dream match was going to be Gran Akuma versus Homicide in February. And all of a sudden, that isn't being announced, it isn't being talked about, it isn't being mentioned in any press releases. So I would imagine that the match isn't happening for the fact that they're leaving it off of every press release and that's such a huge billing. I would love for CZW to address that and just mention that it is or isn't happening because that is a huge match, and I really think that the fans need to know whether that's happening or not. And, you know, we can go from there on how we feel about it. But, yeah, I mean, they do have a great card lined up, and yeah, we'll be going over that more as the weeks progress. What else is going on? No, there's more shit I had to talk about. Man, oh, man. Eric, man. On the football scene, Jeff Fisher is out after 16 years as a coach of the Titans. What do you think
really?
About that?
Really? Wow.
Yep. They parted ways today. And that's a long fucking time to be with a team, man.
He'll find a job somewhere.
I guess. It's been a long time since great success, but he's done pretty well for himself for sure. Yeah, we'll have to see. But yeah, that was definitely some shit, man, that just happened. So
Were they going to even run a show in 2010?
Who's that?
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, man. Really don't know what else to throw out there. I expected to go a little longer than we have, and really don't have anything.
You know what I mean? There's really nothing to talk about.
Yeah, wrestling, I mean, they have been pretty dead and everything like that. But, you know, it's all, I guess, comes with the territory. When you do a weekly show, sometimes you get into a lot of stuff one week. Sometimes the next week isn't as heavy. I guess we're pretty much dealing with this. So Ric Flair got sent home, they didn't get sent home. He just got left at the hotel, and then they let him back on. And that's really nothing to really...
By the way, I just got a message. Just got an email from the Masked Maniac. I don't know how he got my email address, but he said he's going to call in next week. He's going to apologize to me. And he put laughing out loud. He put, I'm going to apologize to you next week. LOL.
Oh, okay.
So maybe he's going to apologize this week for trying to take over Yakuza Kick Radio, and maybe, just maybe, you'll hear that apology. Maybe you won't.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I don't know, man. We'll definitely have to see. You want to wrap this up? Because it doesn't seem like we have a whole lot more.
Yep. It was a great show. And I'm looking forward to next show, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Check us out on Facebook, Yakuza Kick Radio on Facebook. Check me out, J. Cap Morris, on Facebook. Check him out, Eric Williams, on Facebook. As always, Thursday, 9 o'clock, check us out next week. We're going to have Reggie. We're going to have a good fucking time. We're going to have a bunch of fucking laughs. And apparently, Maniac going to call in, whatever the fuck he's going to do.
Apologize.
And, Yeah.
He's gonna kiss my ass because I could sue him for so much, but I won't. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna have a little talk next week. See what happens.
Yeah, I guess we will. Check us out next week. You're listening now. Go check out Wrestling Soup starting out right about now. We'll check you out next week. For Eric Williams, I'm J. Cat Morris. Peace.
The Yakuza Radio. Love the name.